So let's speak about Shoivim. And Shoivim is one of these Zmanim, I guess, that we discover usually in our 30s, 40s, something like that, that it existed. Where were we? Where was it all these years? And the MS, the reason why we don't know about it, and most people don't, is because it's a Zman Pnimi. It's a very Pnimistic Zman. It's not brought down in Halacha. It's brought down in Pnimis form. And so, anybody who hasn't gone into that world or come in contact with it in any way wouldn't have been exposed to it otherwise. Happens to be, in recent years, so there's been a push even in the Litvish Olam, awareness of Shoivim. Usually those Shiurim are geared more towards Shalom Bayis and Chazara of Taras HaMishpacha. And there's good reason for that. As we're going to see, Mitzvah Hashem, this is a piece from the Rebbe in his Sefer, the Tashir, which he gives to Vachim every Thursday night. It's the Mesilas HaShoivim Shiurim, but he touches on many topics. And we'll see good reason why that is. But as we get closer to Yemos HaMashiach and the world of Pnimiyas HaTorah is somewhat conquering all the different factions in Klal Yisrael, so there's a general awareness to Shoivim which there never was before. And the question which for us is how to make the most of the Zman, because it's a very mesugal dik Zman, and the proper outlook, what should be our focus. And what I love about the Rebbe is that he always has a very clear hashkafa. It says chidushim, but an oishim that when you hear the chidush, it's like, oh, that's pashit. It's pashit. So let's jump right in, because it's not a small shtickle, but we may jump around a little bit. So here we're going to start from Tafshin Tzadi Aleph at the top left corner. And the first paragraph we're going to delve into is HaYoytze Midvarinu at the top of the page. So the Rebbe, in many places, in the Sarm and in his Shiurim, he establishes that the two Iker Metziuses of a Jew is Emuna and Shmiras Habris. This is the Metzius of a Yid. To be a Maimon, and to be a Shomer Bris. These correspond in the Spheres to the lowest ones, which are Malchus and Yesod. When we speak about Spheres, we usually talk about Keser, Chachma, Bina, Das, then downwards. When we talk about entering into the Kedusha, you have to come in from the bottom. So Malchus is the Pesachin, and then you come to Yesod. So Malchus is the Sphera which corresponds to Emunah, because there's no coming into the Kedusha unless a person accepts your Gimel Ani Mamins basics. And then the next step into the Kedusha is Yesod, Shmiras HaBris. This corresponds to Avodah Zarah and to Gilu Arayas, which are the two most Chamor Averis in the Torah, Yarag Val Yavor. And the reason why it's Yarag Val Yavor is because it's a chelik of a person's Metzias, which is not Shaykh to be Mavatara. Can't say about those situations of what is on Kilomar that there will be a time where a person will forgo, and Memela, it's not forgoing. It's not something which can be overrided, because it's the Metzias of the Mensch. The Metzias of the Jew is that he's a Maimon. The Metzias of that a Jew is that he is a Shomer Bris. That's what the Rebbe is going to discuss in Mitzvah Shem. It corresponds to the two Mashiachin, Mashiach ben David and Mashiach ben Yosef. And the reason why we're guaranteed that there will be a Mashiach ben David, we're guaranteed that there will be a Mashiach ben Yosef, is because there's a guarantee on the Metzias of a Jew that even if he's nifkam in those things, that it's a Metzias kayamas, that the pagam can't be in a way where it'll completely destroy or wash away that Nekudat Tova. So with that hakdama, let's begin. Hayoyitzi min dvarinu, sheish bezin yonam she min yonam yesoidim bayahadas. That there are two yesodas in Yiddishkeit, which are the basis, the foundations of all hatzlacha and everything which we do. That if a person puts effort into being koina, these midos, timashech achareyem kol avodas pekalos. The whole Yiddishkeit will be just a natural flow. It's a different Yiddishkeit when a person is machazik himself in these inyanim of emuna and kedusha. V'hine inyan hatshuva shel yimei hashovrim nikba b'ikar al inyan shmiras habris. So of the two, shovrim focuses on the latter, which is shmiras habris. Shekach gilu lanu hari hakadosh sheyamim elu misugalim b'yos al tikunim inyanim elu. That this is his mind, which is mezugal to have tikkun on this. V'hayoyisha inyan miyusad al pi kabbalah, like we explained before, that the zman is a kabbalah dika zman. The kabbalah is shayach be'ikr to the chilek of pnimiyus ha'Torah. Lachin shayachim b'yoyisad inyan shmiras habris. That's why it's shmiras habris is connected on the level of pnimiyus ha'Torah, because the whole musik of shmiras habris is something which is spoken about a lot in Pnimiyus HaTorah, but not a lot in Niglus HaTorah. The Rebbe says many times, and he said earlier in this piece, that if you open up a Gemara, so maybe once every how many, 50, 60, 70 blocks, you're going to bump into something which is related to Shmiras HaBris. But in the Zohar Kaddish, anybody who's looked at one knows that Kemat every daf talks about Shmiras HaBris. In the world of Reb Shimon, Shmiras HaBris was the Iker. That was the Iker. So, Memela, when there's a Zman like this of 6 weeks, 8 weeks in a leap year like we have this year, which is dedicated towards Shmiras HaBris, we don't have a Zman on the calendar, which is a Zman like this. You're going to say, what are you talking about? You have from Pesach to Shavuos, that's Sefiras HaOmer. Okay, that's 7 weeks, but in a leap year, there's 8 weeks of Shmiras HaBris. And the two actually happen to go together, because the reason why we begin Shmiras HaBris and this amount of Shovim now in Parasha Shmos is because Shmos is the discussion of Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's the fact that it's Parasha Shmos, Golas Mitzrayim, Yetzias Mitzrayim, which invites the amount of Shovim. That's why they're named after the Parshias. So Shovavim is not just a term of Lashon of Tshuva, or maybe even rebels, which is probably more appropriate. But Shovavim stands for Shmos Va'era Bo B'Shalach Yisra Meshvatim. So they're named after the Parshias, which have to do with Geulas Mitzrayim. And when does the Zman of Sefiras HaOmer begin? Yetzias Mitzrayim, Pesach, all the way to Shavuos, which is the Gemar. And that's exactly what happens during the weeks of Shavuot. It begins with Shmos, which is the beginning of Geulas Mitzrayim, because Hashem says to Moshe in this parasha, take the Yidden out. That's the beginning of the Geula. And it culminates with Parshas Mishpatim, which is Nasa V'Nishma. The end of the parasha deals with Kabbalah Torah, not just Yisrael, which is stands out as being the parasha of Kabbalah Torah, but Mishpatim is also part of Kabbalah Torah, because that's the Nasa V'Nishma, the end of the parasha. And even in leap years, where there's Truma and Tetzaveh, Shovim Tat, that has to do with the construction of the Mishkan and the halaws of the Mishkan. And like the Ramban says, that really the Mishkan is just a hamshacha of Kabbalah Satayra, that everything which was Nisgala V'Matan Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took it and put it in the Mishkan. Hence the Aron, hence the Mizbeach, like there was a Korban on Mount, on Mahar Sinai. So we're seeing this parallel between Shovim and these mei hasfira, so it's really hainu hach. And it could be said that the zman of atzeres, Pesach to atzeres, is the zman which deals with the first shlav, which is emuna, the sphere of malchus. Whereas this zman of shofavim are the weeks which deal with shmiras habris. But because malchus is considered to be chitzonius, it's emuna, we're allowed to talk about it openly because, as the pasuk says, what does David say? Something emunascha b'fi. I forgot. He talks about speaking about emuna openly. There's many psukim like that, because emuna should be discussed. Speak in Yiras Shamayim. You speak about emuna, but to speak in Shmiras HaBris is something which is discouraged. And we'll see a little bit of the piece in Mitzvah Shem. So Mameila, when it comes to Sefiras HaOmer and the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we're talking about a moon of the whole night. The more you talk about Amunah, the greater it is. Not so about Shemira Sabris. Because Malchus is Chitzonius, that's Niglis. Shemira Sabris is Pnimius, that means a Shtika. So in middle we have these two Zmanim, which correspond to these two Yesodis. One in Niglis, one in Pnimius. Okay. V'tzarech l'kboya. No. What are we up to? V'shmiris habris? V'shmiris habris perusha sheyikba heite b'nafsha shumakor shalalam haba be'etzem yitzirasa. Shmiris habris means that a person should establish that he's be'etzem ashram habris, means he's be'etzem makor shetachayu alam haba. V'ein lo shaychitz anyan yayim alezeh. Meaning, unlike we would think that shmiris habris means to work on psyching ourselves up that we shouldn't have any shaychis to things which you shouldn't be seeing, hearing, to getting into a frenzy like that. It says the Rebbe, no. The real way of Shemiras HaBris al Pnimius is that a Jew should identify himself as being a Shemir Bris. I am connected to Olam Haba. I am connected to holy things. I am Be'etzem HaKadosh. I am Be'etzem HaTahar. And I don't have, as an Etzem Yid, any shaychis to those things. That's not my world. It's like a person like not being able to swim in the ocean, to live in the ocean. And he goes on a boat ride, and he sees the dolphins are jumping, and he's like, wow, it would be so good to be a dolphin. And he's like, I want to jump in. I want to be a dolphin. And he's like, wait a second. Dolphins can... Actually, dolphins, I think, they can't live underwater, right? They're what?
Mammals.
They're mammals. Right, so it's not such a good marshal. But, yeah, you know, whatever other, a shark, face, that they don't come up for air. So, that's not me. That's not my mitzias. I'm a meshuggah to think that way. To live in the water, I have to be crazy to think something like that. And you would think that that's not such a good marshal because it's so radical, it's so crazy, that it should be a marshal for this. The marshal doesn't even do justice to this. It's not even close. Because the difference between a yid being a shomer bris and not being shomer bris is much greater of a difference than a human being and a fish. Much different. Because the chilik between olam haba, kol yisrael yishtem ched olam haba, the fact that that's really our residence, and we're only here on a temporal basis, that means that we happen to be swimming in the ocean in this world. We're only visitors here. But be'emes and neshama, he's a chilik alakam yima. He comes from a much higher place. So to think that a yid should have any real kesher to the Olam HaGashmi is a much farther inyan than to think that a fish should have something to do with this world or that a human being should have something to do with the underworld. It's like the tzaddikim say that the difference between a yid, a yid, And I'm not going to go down there. I'm not going to go there. This is Chiddush number one. That the real way to be a Shomer Bris is to understand who I am essentially. Essentially, I'm a person who has Chedek Olam Haba. Me'ikar Chayim is Chayim Olam Haba. Even in this world, Me'ikar Chayim is Chayim Olam Haba. So it doesn't put a person on the defense, like, I'm going to be so worried about if I do this, if I do that, you know, I might fall and I might get put into a situation where I'm going to see something. No, be'etzem, I'm a kadosh, be'etzem, I'm a tahar. And how a person identifies himself, it's not a trick, it's not a ploy, it's the emes. It's the emes. It's just about being makabal, that emes about myself, that I'm be'etzem a kadosh. To establish and to know very well that since every Jew is be'etzem Hashem Habris, nimsa she'af him nechshol chas v'shalom. Therefore, if he is nechshol chas v'shalom, it doesn't get so deep that it uproots its atzmius. Ki kevin shadavar taku be'etzem nafshay l'shach lifkan boy. That since it's embedded in his atzmius hanefesh, it's not shayach a pagam completely It could be said that because that's my atzmius, it's shaykh to be masakin it very easily. And there are many more tikkunim than there would be in other things. Since it's be'etzim who he is, you can't be pargim as yadus. Now, what it would be like, for example, let's say you have a tablecloth, and now somebody spills the grape juice and there's a stain. So it's got to go into the dry cleaning. Right? It's going to be hard to get it out. But then they make these tablecloths which are resistant to the stains. Stain resistant. So what do? So you just take a little bit of a napkin, rub it off, and then poof, everything is gone. What's the difference? Because this was made to be resistant. So it's very easy to clean. But something which was not made for that, so then it gets in, you have to take it to professional. So when it comes to Shmiras HaBris, the Pagan Bris, if a person is Pagan B'Bris, because he's Pagan in an Inyan, which it's not Shaykh B'Emes of Pagan, it could be very, very easy to clean out. And if you take a look at the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, all of them, Befrat L'Tzir Pinchas Kartzer, if you take a look, he has Eitzes galore on Tikkun for Pagan Bris. Or Rabbi Nachman, for example. Rabbi Nachman has Tikkun HaKlali, Eitzes for Pagan Bris. There's many, many Eitzes. Going to the Mikvah is an Eitzes for Pagan Bris. Saying Zohar Kaddish is an Eitzes for Pagan Bris. But the question that we all grapple with is, doesn't the Zohar say that there's no Tikkun for Pagan Bris? So the Rebbe explains elsewhere, not in this piece, that, like he's explaining now, basically, is that there's Koidim Achet and there's Achar Achet. Koidim Achet, there's no Tikkun for it. Because since it's such a precious Zach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and because the Tikkun is so easy, Achar Achet, so what we say to a Yid beforehand is, it's not Shaykh. I mean, this is so important that you don't do this. We tell you that it's not Shaykh. And that's the truth. Because Al Pidin, Koidim Achet, there's no Tikkun for it. But after a person is Choyte, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a Rachmanis which comes out, oh, my Yidile was Choyte. So Mamela, there's a new Rachamim which is Nisayre. And Mamela, it's very Shaykh to do a Tikkun. Tikkun Kali is very easy. Going to the mikkah is a very easy tikkunim. It's like the Gemara says, Hashem, Hashem, kel racha mechanon. Havaya koidim achet, and there's a havaya acher achet. They're both havaya. It just happens to be that it's a havaya of rachamim, is always havaya's rachamim. But shouldn't it say Elokim koidim achet and havaya acher achet? Especially in this context, Teretz says no. Because when it says koidim achet, that it's not Shayach HaTikun. Rabbi said, does that come from Midas HaDin or is that Midas HaRachamim? That's not Midas HaDin. That's Midas HaRachamim that Hashem says it's not Shayach HaTikun. And that's the truth. It's not a trick. But that's the truth. It's Hashem's Rachmanis that He says to us, if you do this, you will not have a Tikun on it. That's a tremendous Rachmanis that Hashem made it that way. Because now a person, if he's chas v'shalom, he's in his matzav where he may think to do that, he's thinking to himself, there's no tshuva for this. Al pi din. And even from Hashem's Rachman, even from Midas HaRachamim is maskim, there's no tshuva for this. There's a tremendous Rachmanis that Hashem made it that way. You don't understand that, Josh?
No.
How can you? Why not? I mean, if a person knows koidim achet, that there's no tshuva for it, he's going to think twice before he does it, because he's not going to say, echet tov yashiv. He's going to think, oh, I can do the chinak, and it's a very easy fix once I do it. Hashem says, it's not shayach tshuva. That's the mitzias right now.
How is that not din?
It is din. But the Hashem's rachmanis is that He made the din in this oifen that it's not shayach tshuva. So it's not just that that's the din, which it is. But that's a gevaldik rachmanis that about this inyan, that Hashem made it, that it's not shayach tshuva, koidim achet. That's a gevaldik rachmanis that Hashem needs. Because that's a tremendous shmir on a person that you shouldn't do it. You can get this.
I know what you're saying. So? It doesn't make sense, though.
Why does it not make sense?
Because when I think of Rahmanas, I don't think of, like, heavy din. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like such a din that you can't come back from it. So, to me, Rahmanas is... I know there was a pagam here, but, like, we'll fix it. That's what I think Rahmanas is. But
I'm gonna ask you a question, Josh. Let's say there's an electric voltage, there's an electric charge, that if a person would touch it, he would die. So is it Rahmanis to put a very flimsy gate around it, or to put up a wall which is not shy enough to break it?
Come with, I'm following.
So which one?
Yeah, the gate, the heavy gate.
The heavy gate. So is this not that? Meaning, if a person touches this and he's pegging this, he's gonna explode. Pasha gonna explode. Happens to be that he knows of a very good doctor that when people explode, he's able to put them back together again. So it doesn't mean that the chid is kal because the tikkun is easy. It just means that Hashem has a gevaldik rachmanis for a person who's pogim like that. That since it's such a big pagam, Hashem it awakens such a big rachmanis that the big or comes down, which is able to put them back together again. The rachmanis is very great, but it doesn't mean that the chid is diminished because the rachmanis is great. It's still an explosion. But it happens to be that because it's a big explosion, there's a big rachmanis, and because it's a big rachmanis, you can put Humpty Dumpty back together again.
The tikkun is only there for someone that's really searching for it also.
What do you mean?
Meaning, after somebody was chayte, now they're looking for something to be misaken. So it's not like it just automatically happens. It's a rachmanis for someone that's coming to look for it.
But Maman Shach, if a person... is not searching to look for it, and he just becomes aware of it, so it will work for him too, right? I'm not sure I'm understanding what you're saying, man, and that's why you're not understanding what I'm saying.
Ease the Josh's pain by saying that it's not just an automatic thing.
What's not an automatic thing? The ladder?
So you're misaken.
Yeah. It's a rachmanis. I think.
So not just because you sinned. No, you're really coming for that rachmanis. Then okay, fine. Here you have it.
It's comparable with, parent tries to keep a child away from drugs, right? If you do it, I'm going to disown you, right? And then, like, let's say Chasram, the kid, does it. So you're going to have Rachmanis. So the original Rachmanis in terms of saying, like, if you do it, I'm going to disown you, that's just so the child has this great awareness of how dangerous it is for him. And then, if Chasram, the child, does something, you're going to be makabel.
Right. Okay. I just want to fix the disown you thing. It's more like, if you touch this, you will die. Meaning, this will kill you. This will kill you. Mm-hmm. Now, it happens to me that if they do it and they don't die, so you need a very big doctor to be makabel. But Hashem Yisbarach says, it's okay. I know a very big doctor who will take care of this. That's me. I mean, because there's such a rachmanis that... The reason why there's a Havaya Koidim and there's a Havaya after is because there's really one Shairish to both them. They're both working out of a Kaddish Baruch Hu's endless Rachman to say, you're going to explode if you touch it. But don't worry, I'll put you back together again. Chaim, you want to say?
I just think the question is it to say that there's no Tikkun, but really there is Tikkun? Is that a little untrue?
No, because the until you're chote, there's no tika, because the rachmanis is not nisayir. But once you do the chid, you're ma'oyer the rachamim, and now it's shaykh to say that there's a tika. That's why they both come from the same shayr, shavai.
Which is important, because, right, and the whole idea is that a person's face with an assign, he has to know that there's taka, no tika.
Yeah, that's the truth. It's not a ploy. That's the truth. Before you're chote, there's no tika. It's not just a scare tactic.
Right.
If you do this, there's mamish no tika for it. Elamai, when a person is chayte, there is now a tikkun which is lamala min ateva, because it's a rachmanis which is lamala min ateva. It's like a tchias amesim which comes into the world. Chaim, go ahead.
After the chit, is there, maybe this is where some of the discussion was, is there like a charat, like a stark charat of it, or you just say that the rabbin of the tikkun kali, and meaning what does one's mental state have to be, and then maybe that goes to the pre-chit, because if you're taking it very lightly, it's megala that even post-chit, you're probably not coming with.
Right. So it would seem from this Sfar Makdashim that although most Averis require, let's say, a Charata and a Vidui and a Kabbalah La'asid, that when it comes to this, it could be that it's different. Why? Like he's explaining, the Rebbe is explaining that here, it's an Avera which is Shaykh to an Atzmius. And an Atzmius means that you didn't really do it. I mean, you weren't really Pagim because this part of yourself, which was involved in the chait, really wasn't involved. It's not like you did it. It was like, It was like you were almost like you were forced to do it. It really wasn't your atzmius. So as opposed to something which a person does where he does it and it makes a real pagam, so for that he needs a charata, for that he needs to go through the whole process because it gets into the cloth and now he has to wash it out. But over here, you're dealing with an akud of a person where it didn't get in. So how do you get rid of it? Okay, you just take a napkin and you wash it off. Go to mikvah. Do tikkun gwali. You know.
Isn't it counterintuitive to what you just said that you need an amazing doctor to...
No, but that's the rachmanis. The rachmanis is that there's an or which comes down. It's not the maisa which is the healing. The maisa is just a hechatimsa that or should be nizgal. What causes it to happen is that there's a gevaldik rachmanis which comes down. Part of the rachmanis is that it doesn't require a lot for a person to have a tika. So we're just finishing the job. Meaning, in the Olam Mesa, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to take care of it because there's a big rachmanis which takes place. And of course, that's rooted in the fact that a person isn't poiging him in his atzmias. So it doesn't require a lot of maisa because it's already set up that way.
Why are you not poiging him in your atzmias?
Because a yid is be'etzem these two things, malchus and yisod. He's be'etzem Hashem Eris, and he's be'etzem Imam.
So the same would apply to Emunah?
Yeah.
That be'etzem, you can't, you know, there is no such thing as being...
Yeah, okay. Yeah. If a person says, let's say he's a koyfer chas v'shalom, and then he's, right? He's a not be'koyfer. Second, he says, no, I believe in Barashim. Okay, welcome back. Welcome back. Didn't lose his chaganam if he makes a tshuva. He just comes right back, and he said, no, I'm amen again. Oh, good.
The same blood Gilai Arayos, because this is a shtickle Gilai Arayos, isn't it? In terms of being pogged in bris.
Isn't the Baal Tanya say it needs to be Amka Deliwa for that?
What do you mean?
For Gilai Arayos.
So
much a bigger Seiris of Chuva.
Yeah, well, Gilai Arayos is certainly. When a person in Chas V'Shalom does that, so that's a different pagam than Shmiras Abris. Of course, it is a pagam of Shmiras Abris, but the fact that he takes his Zera HaKdoisha and he's mavered over to the Sitra Achra in such a way. So, and also classic Yilei Ra'ayos, it has to do especially with Eish HaSith, which is like a huge, huge churban in the family, and even on the level of Idan Lachaveir, it's terrible, terrible. So, because of those other factors, it makes it much, much more chomer. But you can still apply that inyan here as well. Because when it comes to Gilai Arayos, it's Yag Vayavar. And if it's Yag Vayavar, the reason why that is because you can't be Mavatar on your Atzmias. So on the one hand, the fact that it's Shaykh to Shmiras Abris and it's Ma'atzmias, so yes, it's not Shaykh Pagan forever. But the fact that there's other things which are involved, that there's a whole other camp which is involved, so that gives us a certain chamyas. And also the fact that a person is a chayv misa for Gilai Arayos, but he's not chayv misa for you know, stam paigim bris, zer levatala. The reason why is because society can't function if there's Gilai Arayos which is taking place. So for the etzem kiyum ha'olam, so it has to be that there's a chayv misa. Besides what's going on in Pinan L'Chaveir aspect, which is terrible. Okay. It's hard to speak about the tikkun. Earlier generations, they really didn't speak about Shmiras Arbis at all. But what can we do in these times? That this is the culture in today's world. Hushbal b'tzur gru ma'od, that we've never seen a collapse in society like this when it comes to this world of Shmiras Abris. V'roim b'hathet sh'b'kuv asik v'sa d'mashich ha'mashkiya yitzahara ha'koicha satsum v'snekad ha'chay mashich. And we see that the huge melchama that the Sitra Achra is waging against these two inyonim, the two mashichim, like we said, Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David, Mashiach ben Yosef and Shmiras Abris, that the Sitra Achra is machapas d'mishtadl b'chol yichot l'hamsi t'achbul asik l'tam y'sa'ila. You can't go anywhere. You can't open up a newspaper, go down the street without seeing a billboard, turn on a computer or television, you go into a mall without being exposed to these again. It's mamash everywhere. Everywhere. It's a huge melcham in the oilam against any Shmiras Shmiras. So memela, because it's in our face, and even if you try to stay away from it, you have to deal with it. So it's almost like an emergency that it needs to be spoken about, because you can only tell a person to run and to hide, but if they're coming into your hiding space, coming into the space where you are, so you have no choice but to talk about it. So Melo, if the Satmarov said that a yid in the shtetl, when he lives in the shtetl, and we spoke about this once, he says in his whole lifetime, he didn't see what a yid is exposed to just in one stroll down the block. You can go a whole lifetime. One stroll down the block, we see more than a yid saw his whole life in the shtetl. And that's what we're dealing with. That's what it means to live in Golis. Not just to live in Golis, because even the shtetl was in Golis, but it was Mavdil ben Kodesh Lechol ben Yisrael Amin. But over here, we're living amongst them, and they dafka want to be Pagimas. That's what the Sitracha wants. So we have to speak about it, because we need to know how to deal with it. Hence, 180 shirim from Rav Moshe Weinberger on Yosef HaTzadik HaBoris. Because it needs to be spoken, especially in our communities. The Meila Tzarech Ladas, it says Rabbi here, always something very fresh, something very important, yet pashut. Ki ha'etza hachim yisugel ashu, the best etza to deal with Shmir Sabes, shelo tiyeh lo shum shaychis chonim alol, to have no shaychis to it. That's the best etza. Rak yashkia atzma kalel b'tar v'avayda, that a person should throw himself into Kedusha. V'yis asku v'nyani ruchnias, that he should be busy with dvarim ruchnian. B'lishum his yachas alibol bonim. And not to be not to allow himself to be in his balba, to be confused. As soon as he has this voice in the Zahara saying, you know, let's talk about this, it's interesting. You don't engage in conversation. You don't engage in mental conversation. The person doesn't make it like a thing that I have to deal with it. It's a huge etza. And even if a person chas v'shalom is nichshol ba'oneis, yasiach da'itam yahadavar. He shouldn't, when he's a person who's involved in Torah and Avodah, said if he's nichshol chas v'shalom, it shouldn't be like we said before, oh my gosh, there was this huge explosion, a big pagam. Now I know the desires, there's nothing which can be misakas, what am I going to do now? I'm going to go to the mother, they're going to talk about it. The Rebbe says no. Don't take that approach. The best approach is, if a person is nichshol, he says, I made a mistake. Back to Torah Avodah. That's the biggest... I mean, Rabbi said, we think that we take Torah and Tefillah lightly, so we think we need other tikkun, right? So that's not. The biggest tikkun is through Torah and Avodah. Like, we think that, you know, when we do, Shiluach HaKein, or Pidgin Petach Hamor, we're like, oh, we did a mitzvah, now we have a chedek on Lavavah. That's not... The limud ha'Torah and the davening every day is much, much bigger than those mitzvahs. And sometimes there's a tactic like, oh, if I do those mitzvahs, I'm a mid, that'll be a tikkun for this. It's not true. The Rebbe says, go back to the day-to-day, throw yourselves into Torah Avodah. Even if you're nechshol, don't look for something else. Because you think to yourself, oh, but the Torah and tefillah wasn't matzah means, so it must be that it wasn't a good shmir, it's not a good tikkun. No. Go back to the Gemara, go back to the Svarim, go back to the Siddur. Don't pay attention. You're going to have your tikkun that way. Say a tikkun klali if you want. Go to the mikveh if you want. But the main thing is not to be engaged. Not to make it into an inyan. Even in the rebound, not to make it into an inyan. Just stay focused on the regular path of Torah Vavayda and to be a Jew who's committed to Torah Mitzvah.
Is that specifically here, by this chet, or is that in general? Because there's just the whole thing in terms of part of the Yetzer Hara is to fall into that state of atzos over how did this happen to me, and then your mind gets... you know, brought into that whole world of Atzos, and that Atzos brings you down into other, you know, Chatam. Is that Prat here, or is the Rabbi's talking in general?
He's talking in general. But Prat in this thing. Because Pagambris is something which it drags us in, and there's really no shmir for it other than throwing oneself into Torah Avodah. Rav Nachman speaks about this in other places, and that's because... you know, the whole union of Taivas Nashim, let's talk about Taivas Nashim per se, even though we spoke about many times, Shmir Sabris means all Taivas, it means Kesher to this world. But like Rav Nachman says, the Iker Yitzhar of all Yitzharas is Gilo Rais. And Rabbi Nachman explains elsewhere that one of the challenges we have with that is that the fact that a man has a hamshacha to an isha or an isha to a man, that's not a problem. That's a metzius in the veld. So a person is not considered to be mentally retarded if he has an attraction for the opposite sex, and that's because you were made that way. That's normal. That's what it means to be a guf. That's what it means to be a ben adam. So if you're trying to deal with that, you're dealing with it in a way which is like, what, you're trying to say that this is a problem, but this is how Adam was created. So when I'm trying to be oiker or metzias of what a person is, of course, a person could go to a higher place and he could say, listen, I'm a person that I'm an neshama and I have taivas for higher things. And that's what the Rebbe is basically saying. If you throw yourself into Torah and Tefillah, what you're doing is that you're bringing out your neshama, and so now if you identify yourself as being a neshama, so then you're going to see that that's your real chukah is for those things, and you don't have a chukah anymore for those things. Okay, that's what the Rebbe is saying. But if a person is not yet in that darga, and he doesn't go to that place, and he's like, I'm not throwing myself in the Torah and Avaida. I'm not going to make myself a Kaddosh. I'm going to stay here where I am right now. I'm going to deal with this issue. What issue? Understand, what's the issue? That's a very normal thing. And the reason why a person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gave it to us is because he wanted us to procreate. So that's why when Hashem says, listen, I want you to be married and to have a wife and to only dedicate yourself to your wife, that's where your attraction should be. The reason why that is because the things go together. Meaning this is the person who's going to be your partner to procreate in the world. To be kind of mitzvah forever. So Hashem says, I want it to be here. Hashem says, don't take it away. Right? That's not like the other, like the Umas Olam, like the Christians, Catholics, whatever they do, that it's like, that this is evil. It's not evil. It's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave. Hashem made it. If he made it, there's a purpose for it. But Hashem says, I want it to be in a Kaddishtik way. I want you to choose this woman, and she should choose you, and you have an agreement, an understanding that you're going to have children together, do something good for the world. And that's where it should be. And the reason why Hashem did that is because if there was no taiva for that, then a person wouldn't do it. Because if you think about it, it's not the nicest thing in the world. So Hashem says, okay, I'm going to give you a reason to do it, because you're going to have pleasure from that. But a higher person, as soon as he goes to a higher madrega, so for him, he's like, I'm a neshama. I'm not going to be engaged in this because of the pleasure. I have higher pleasures for myself. Torah is a pleasure. Tefillah is a pleasure. Mitzvah is a pleasure. So what's going to be the impetus for a person to do this if he doesn't want to do it? The mitzvah. Because it's a mitzvah. Just like anything else he does, he may not want to do it, but he's going to do it anyways because it's a mitzvah. And as soon as it is, it's a mitzvah, it's an even bigger timing than it would be if he was just a boss of a dumb doing it because he was just a goof. Now that it's a mitzvah, he wishes he could make a bracha of asher kiddushin of a mitzvah asav. In some sfarim, they say that there's no bracha on purva. The reason why there's no bracha is because it's impossible for a mensch to be able to do it without having any physical tire from it. But tzaddikim say, I want to make a bracha. I want to make a bracha on a davar kaddish like this. So many tzaddikim, it's brought down in sfarim, is that they make a bracha on a shahakal, and that bracha of shahakal should be chal on the maisa. Because they so want to be Makadish and to make a bracha on it, so that's an eifin. But you have to be a higher person to think that way. So Mamela, when the Rebbe is saying that it shouldn't be Shum Esek, one of the explanations and reasons for that is because you can't engage with something which is Kavua Beteva of the Guf in conversation like, what are you doing here? The Ikra is that you give it its place. That's where it's going to be used. And that's where you belong. And I'm throwing myself, I'm not making that my life. That's not my pleasure in my life. I have higher pleasures than that. You throw yourself into Torah, you throw yourself into Avodas Hashem, you elevate yourself to be a neshama, and you start to see that, just like a child, that when he was little, he thought that playing video games and eating candy was what life was about. Then he gets a little bit older, and he's like, that's child's play. That's not real pleasures of life. So we have to be always thinking to ourselves, like, you know, how do we mature? If we still think that those are pleasures, so then we haven't matured enough. And the same thing is true about a guf. Just because the rest of the world thinks that that's pleasures, you look at a higher person looks at that and says, you're mamish, you're immature, you're a child. You don't know anything about this world. You don't know anything about Ner Chanukah. You don't know anything about Matzah. You don't know anything about what it means Shacharis. You know what it means Shmon Esrei, Kriya Shema. You know what it means a good Rashi, a good Tosfos. You don't know anything about that. So you're selling me all these things because you're a goof, and that's the only thing which in your world, you're not a neshama, so that's what speaks to you, and I can't expect anything more of you. You could, really, because, you know, unfortunately there's a big push in the world to destroy society, but it's a much bigger tainik to be a mensch who has a family and raises a mishpacha and he makes his parnasa, and you know, than to be a person who's going around doing all types of terrible things. He thinks that that's pleasure, but inside, he knows that that's just a destruction of the human being. That's a destruction of the Tzelem Elokim, which Hashem created all mankind with a basic Tzelem Elokim. That atzvis, which comes with messing around with the fabric of creation. So he might have moments of pleasures here and there, but he's walking around like a depressed. It's chava, mamash
chava. Angry all the time.
Angry all the time, depressed all the time. That's why there's so much with the demise of society. It's the best business for psychiatrists, psychologists, because it destroys the Tzelem Elokim. You're destroying what it says in Parashas Bereishis. Every man was created with Tzelem Elokim. If you do these averis, so then you're destroying the Tzelem Elokim. Of course, they're going to be depressed. What could you expect otherwise? If they would live like the Torah says, not just for like a Ben Yisrael, but like a Ben Adam should live, then you can go back to regular, normal, healthy human beings. There was a hand, Chaim, yeah.
I'm hearing a little bit of a contradiction here, because on the one hand, we're saying that it needs to be, the site has to be within a certain framework, and it sounded limited, and that there is a concept of having a higher pleasure, which I understand. There's a higher timing of a person should be, you know, aimed at higher things. But we're talking about Yisayit. Yisayit is essential, and it goes to a very deep place.
Yeah.
So I mean, maybe it's another shir, but it needs to be explained how that's meant to fully manifest in the realm of in the deepest place where a person wants to is looking for that hiskashrus and that, how that works. Because what I just heard was that it needs to be. It sounded like it's very limited and very, you know, put in its place, and then we're moving on to something better and something higher, but that's got to stay down there. But
I'm not sure. Let me explain it again. Let's see if this helps you.
The idea of intimacy, that specific.
Yeah, we're talking. Isn't that what this year's about?
Yeah. No, I think what he meant was
it's really preparation. It's like anything else. It's a.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Look at that, of course.
The idea of puruvu is not is that's not puruvu. Puruvu is the idea of having children.
Okay.
So the mitzvah of lighting candles, which is special Hanukkah, is lighting candles.
Right.
So the act of lighting, preparing the menorah, is only there for the. In other words, the only reason why you need to prepare candles on a menorah is so that you have the ability to do the mitzvah of lighting the menorah.
Okay.
So the same idea. If you look at the idea of intimacy, so to speak, as the opportunity to prepare for the mitzvah of Purim
Right.
Then it has a different significance.
Did that answer your question?
I reject that.
So I mean, let me explain what I had said before. And tell me, Ben, if this is what you're saying also, and if this resonates, Chaim.
Okay.
I mean, like this. It's called that a person is a gufniyus person. Because really, it's very hard to live as a neshama and as a guf, because they do melchama with each other. So let's say a person comes into this world, and until he has higher das, so then he's living as a guf, right? So the Torah says, I'm not asking you to get rid of your taivas, let's say nashim in this case, like lagam, right? I'm not asking you to do that. It's not an evil thing. I created that so that you'll procreate. So when a person realizes that it's a creation from Hashem and he's supposed to procreate, and this is almost like an incentive that a person will procreate and to even want to have children, which is a huge endeavor to want to have children. Many goyim don't want to have children. They found ways to just be able to enjoy their taivis and to not have children. Hashem says that doesn't work. So this is an incentive for a person to have children and to be a part of Binyan Ha'olam. So Hashem says, listen, I made it, it's there. But I'm asking you to be magbalit only for the one that you're mekadesh under the chuppah with her. You give her tabas, haryam mekudeshesli. That's going to be the place for you to be mekayim the sinyan. Okay. Now a higher person gets to a point where he says, "That's not really me. This guf. It's not really me. My atzmin is really my neshama." And that's what we're talking about here. That it's the yisayit which doesn't go anywhere. The atzmin is my neshama, which is connected to higher pleasure, which is chayal lamaba. So a person is able to look down now, because he's in a higher place, at that taiva saguf, and to say, listen, that belongs there. I'm not trying to uproot that, but it's going to be batal to higher pleasures. I'm going to be a neshama now. And so the more that it becomes a neshama, the more that the taiva saguf doesn't speak to him anymore. So what's going to get him to be mekayim that in you now, if he doesn't have that incentive of the pleasure, of the physical pleasure, to have children? So what's going to be his new incentive? The mitzvah. Because in his world of higher pleasures, mitzvah is the greatest pleasure. So just like when he shakes a lulav, it's gevaldik because it's a mitzvah, even though to a person watching on the street is just shaking leaves, but it's gevaldik because the kedushas ha-mitzvah gives him the tainik. So the kedushas ha-maisa is what's going to give him that tainik now, not the physical pleasure. But when we're talking about something which is indestructible, we're talking more about the nekudas ha-neshama, which it's so attached to chayalim abula, which is higher pleasures, that it's not shaykh to be pugging that. So here, you're not trying to uproot the physical attraction that the person has. It's just, he's attracted because of the pleasure shabbo. But now that he's find higher pleasures, so he's not addressing it because it's basically becoming batul chabetrei. He's saying, I have higher pleasures, and so I'm not dealing with that anymore.
I got it. So I think the bigger question that is probably another shir is that, are we focused on just alaba, or are we focused on the concept, I think you mentioned it, of neshama beguf, and that tension, and trying to reconcile that as much as possible?
No, we're not trying to reconcile.
Right.
Reconcile is not something we're trying to do. A person has to do a dance in order to be a goof and a neshama in this world. It's very hard. It's very hard. But a person is striving to be a neshama.
Isn't that the ideal?
That's the ideal. But a person, you have to become cool and neshama to be makadish goof in these things. Like, that's a different truth. But for this, you could say as follows, that a person is not so much working on trying to be mavatal as gufnius. He's working on being a neshama. He's identifying himself as he truly is. It's not a ploy. I really am a neshama, and I really am attracted to higher pleasures. And if a person stays focused on that, so then it doesn't have to be like, I'm a guf, I'm a neshama. No, I'm a neshama. He's taking off his lavushim. He's like, I'm a neshama. It happens to be, if he's b'shas nisayon, if he's neshas nisayon, and he's like, I'm trying to talk about my higher pleasures, just not working right now because this seems very attractive, because self comes self, I am a guf. So then he has to remember and say, okay, listen, yes, you're a guf, but if you do avirahs like that, you're going to get whacked. It's going to really hurt. And this world's going to hurt. The next world, it's really going to hurt. Right? So sometimes the fact that a person is attracted to higher pleasures, it doesn't work in an emergency. So in an emergency, you have to call in, because the guf is pulling you and he's like, this is going to be great. This is going to be great. The guf is in an uproar. So you have to be strong with the guf and you have to say, okay, if you're going to do something like this, you're going to lose your parnasa. Your shalom bayis is going to go down the drain. Yeah, all these things, terrible things are happening if you're doing a veer like that. So a yid shouldn't have to live in that space that everywhere he goes throughout the day, he's thinking, I really wish I could do that, but I know it's going to slam me if I do it. That's not a way to live. You don't live in emergency mode all the time. That's not how yid lives. It's an oilam hashaker because that's not you. It's pashat not you. You are a neshama, so you should be thinking about neshama things all the time. You should be thinking, I can't wait to get to the Beis Medrash, I can't wait to get back to Shul. When can I be, what chesed can I do now? I'm dealing with the family, with the kids. That's what a person should be thinking. His mind should be focused on Olam Haba and how to see Olam Hazan as opportunities for Olam Haba, which is higher pleasures. Not because of the schar of the next world per se, but because it's higher pleasures. These are higher pleasures.
What?
Sure.
So if that's the case,
I didn't get the first question.
No, go ahead.
So how does it work as far as so the higher pleasure is the pleasure of being the kind of mitzvah, right?
Yeah.
So if that's the that's the focus, then where's the connection come in? I mean, there's supposed to be something going on with your wife. At that time,
yeah.
How does that come into the picture? If the pleasure,
why is that a steer?
I'm not saying it's a steer. I'm just asking how it fits into the puzzle.
It's not a steer. It fits in.
Oh. It just fits in.
It just fits in. I don't see it as a kash at all. No.
Huh?
I don't see it as a kash at all. Just the fact that I have a relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't mean that this is outside of that or not a relationship by itself. I don't think that it's a kash at all.
Not a kash at all.
Let's continue.
I like your job, but you can also like making money.
What?
I like your job, but you can also like making money.
How do you get to that point where the pleasures of the Olam Haba, belittle the pleasures of this world? How do you get to that?
So it's not something that you have to make. It's something which you just have to reveal. You are a neshama, and your neshama has tainik from that. So the more that a person, he's makabel, the main thing, and this is a shir, really, of itself, but the main thing is that if a person just goes to this world kind of like doing mitzvahs here and there, then he's kind of identified himself as a guf who does mitzvahs too. But if a person is makabel upon himself, like on any day, hayoim, And he says, no, I'm makabel upon myself all Torah mitzvahs. I'm makabel upon myself to see myself as a neshama in this world. And therefore, he sees himself as that mitzias, he identifies himself that way, so then he'll start to see that it's natural for him to do mitzvahs. Meaning, just like a fish, it's natural for it to swim, so, and he doesn't have to be convinced that he is. A Jew, because we live in a world where we see ourselves as gufnias and the kedusha is nister, so we have to really be maminim in the fact that we're neshamas. But as soon as we're makabel that and mitzias and we're mamin that, and then we do mitzvahs from that place, so then we can expect that we should have tainuk. One of the reasons why we don't many times because we were never makabel upon ourselves to live that mitzias. We're just going through life doing mitzvahs here and there without being makabel that mitzias. Yeah, we're not used to it because we don't see it. We don't see the neshama. If we were to see the neshama, we'd be, oh, okay, and it's pasha now. But that's part of the struggle, is that we have to have emuna, that we are that, and as soon as we're mammon in that, that's why we said, first emuna, and then shmir sabbath. You have to come in through malchus, and then yisod. So yisod just means that a person is makadosh himself. Well, you can't be makadosh yourself unless we have emuna, which is the malchus, and that you're a kadosh. So when you have a emunah that you're a kaddish and you're mekabel upon yourself to be a kaddish, so then the mitzvahs will make you into a kaddish. But it's not making you into a kaddish; it's just revealing that you are a kaddish.
But the pleasures of the goof, it does not define who you are. So I think the issue is there's no issue with the intimacy with your wife, but it doesn't define who we are, because that's the pleasure of the goof. And I think that's what the Rebbe is trying to say, is that the pleasures of neshamas are a higher pleasure than that. There's nothing wrong with the intimacy, but there's higher pleasure that it doesn't define who we are.
Yeah, I think Chaim was also talking about like the relationship aspect, like the forging a relationship. But what you're saying is true. What you're saying is true. Yeah. Yeah. So even if a person is nechshel chas v'shalom, says Rabbi, rak yimshach liyos shakur b'limudo. Back to the Gemara, back to the Musa Sfarim, back to the Shulchan Aruch, Beis Yosef tour. Don't think about the kilkul. Don't think about the tikkun. The Yitzhar has his ways of pulling you into his sugya. Go back to your derech, which is lashkia atzma beruchnias v'giyah v'simcha. Back to your simcha, back to your ruchnias, back to your giyah and your avodas Hashem. We'll see more about that next time. Let's just finish up this paragraph. And there's more to the piece which you know, we would like to get to. There's one more paragraph till the end of this section. This is the best way. The more that a person is detached, that he doesn't think about it, that he throws himself into who he is. But he says ruchnias. Even if he's nichshav ba'ones, he doesn't give it any mitzias. He doesn't give it any chashivas. He just goes back to his mam shech is eisik in ruchnias. But we should yafsek achet. Meaning, he says, I don't want to ever do this again. And then he goes back into his ruchnias. V'yesh imesh davar hatzorach tikkun b'yeshiva. He's speaking to Bachem here. So if a person feels like that something needs a tikkun in the yeshiva, so then he should speak to a rabbi, to a mashgiach, to a rav, who he trusts to be mesapel, to speak about it. She'ein shem chachma lahachzik davar b'sheket. A person just keeps it to himself and he doesn't deal with it. So there's no chachma in that if he doesn't know how to get out of. He has an issue and he can't get out by himself. So if you have to talk about it because you're having a hard time going back to the ruchnias, or if you have trouble, you know, you can't sleep at night because of it, or you're struggling with just how to rebound. So then you got to talk about it with somebody. And if you don't speak about it, so that's a pshi on your part. And there are mechanchim, there are rabbanim that they know how to advise a person what needs to be done. Some situations are more severe than others. How to get out of the trap. If there's a person who's mashmir on other people, that's to be spoken about right away. That's a huge korban for a yeshiva, for a community. It's a sakana gedola. For just having one conversation, which may take a little bit of strength, rather than to be poshen, to just to let it sit, that could be a very, very important thing which needs to be done. Okay, Al Kapanim, we'll come back to this Mitzvah Shem to finish off the Shtiko next time. But there's a lot of Chidushim, Dvarim Shutim, but Dvarim Chashuvim Ad Meod. We should be Zeichet to be Shem Rebris and to be Zeichet to Gula Vishim Yevim Inomen.